Suspense rests at a police officer's murder trial. Elisa Brady,
Fox News. She's now a former officer who killed a neighbor in Dallas. Fox's Jeff Manasso has a live update.
Lisa, the prosecution wrapped last week. The defense now also done presenting its case, including having former officer 31-year-old Amber Geiger testify in her own defense that she was foggy when she mistook 26-year-old Botham John's apartment for hers last year, opening fire and killing him.
I never wanted to take an innocent person's life. I am so sorry.
The prosecution, in closing arguments, calling the former officer's defense absurd and her actions unreasonable. The judge telling jurors, in addition to murder, they can consider a lesser charge of manslaughter. Lisa.
Thanks, Jeff. More pushback from the president over the complaint fueling an impeachment inquiry, but there's also more pushback on the president. Fox's Rachel Sutherland, live in Washington.
Lisa, President Trump has started a new hashtag on Twitter, fake whistleblower. This after he demanded to meet the informant over the weekend. The president also asking who changed the longstanding whistleblower rules just before the submittal of the fake whistleblower report. The lead attorney for the whistleblower sent a letter to the acting director of national intelligence expressing concern for their client's safety in light of the president's comments. The letter mentioned certain individuals who have offered a $50,000 bounty for information about the whistleblower's identity. Lisa.
Thanks, Rachel. A plea deal for a congressman. Court documents show that New York Republican Chris Collins is now expected to plead guilty in an insider trading case. A federal judge in Manhattan setting a hearing for tomorrow afternoon. Collins is accused of avoiding hundreds of thousands of dollars in losses by leaking confidential information about a biopharmaceutical company to two people, including his son, who has a hearing set for Thursday. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey, it's Heidi Summers, health and wellness expert. I get so many emails, texts, and calls from listeners about CBD Labs Oil, and they all ask if CBD Labs Oil really works. They hear on the radio the great success stories of CBD Labs and want to know if it'll work for them. I always say, if you're going to use CBD, whether for your knee, back, shoulder, or other problem areas, the only one I recommend is CBD Labs, the gold standard in full-spectrum CBD. It's a miracle product. CBD Labs Oil goes to work fast and provides relief and comfort, delivering the results we all thought were nearly impossible without a prescription. So if you have problem areas, call now and take advantage of the free bottle offer. Remember to tell a friend or loved one about CBD Labs Oil, and they will thank you.
To get your free bottle of CBD Labs CBD Oil, call 800-480-9362. That's 800-480-9362. Free bottles for a limited time. Call now, 800-480-9362. That's 800-480-9362.
It is to honor the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff after attending a ceremony in Virginia.
We're gathered today for a truly historic occasion. We're here to welcome our outstanding new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley.
Milley takes over for General Joseph Dunford, the president also thanking him for his service and praising all military families. A manhunt continues for the last of four inmates who escaped an Ohio jail yesterday by overpowering two female corrections officers. Three of them were recaptured at a Red Roof Inn in Cary, North Carolina. California's governor signs a first-in-the-nation law allowing college athletes to make money from their sport.
It allows student athletes to hire agents and earn money off of personal endorsements. It prevents the NCAA from stripping student athletes of scholarships or their athletic eligibility for earning money off of their own likeness. The bill initially passed in the state assembly 73-0 and then in the state senate 31-4. The bill not scheduled to go into law until January 2023, which leaves a lot of time for potential legal battles, likely first from the NCAA, the governing body of college sports, which had urged Governor Newsom to veto this bill and has also threatened to bar California schools from competing in NCAA championship competition. Jared Max, Fox News.
The NFL just announcing that a Raiders player is suspended for the rest of the season after a violent hit helmet-to-helmet on a Colts player yesterday. But it wasn't the first time for Oakland linebacker Vontaze Burfict, who was suspended more than once during his time as a Bengal. The league citing repeated violations of unnecessary roughness rules in today's announcement. Burfict has 3 days to appeal. On Wall Street, a rally continues. The Dow's up about 154. Brady, Fox News.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
time is running out. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local now for a Monday, brand new week, and that means three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Victor Jakes, joining us. And over the weekend, a thing that bubbled up big time, a 40-minute interview, kind of a news conference, if you will, with Mark Amaday from Northern Nevada. And some comments he made about the impeachment inquiry and about Ukraine, complaint, the whistleblower. Did Mark Amaday really support Democrats? Because he was in the distinct minority, at least in theory. Let's find out though, because a guy that's been following the story is Victor Jakes. And Victor, good morning.
Good morning.
Big hubbub about Mark Amaday, who is about as conservative as they get. Why all the hubbub? Why all the controversy over this 40-minute interview?
Well, he was talking to reporters, and they asked him about the impeachment inquiry, and he said, basically that he supported finding out more information. I think he may have said he supported the inquiry, which, people took as, or the national media basically took as, we found the Republican who supports impeachment. And what he was trying to say is he supports finding out more and learning all the facts. And I think that is the exact right position. Let's go and learn all the facts. And I don't think that should concern President Trump, because he's been releasing the facts. And the facts, don't always make him look great, but they certainly don't look impeachable. And so, I think some of this, too, is because the Democrats have been playing kind of fast and loose with this term, impeachment inquiry. When this was done before, there was a formal vote on starting a formal process, and they haven't done that. Pelosi hasn't done that. She hasn't gone and made her Democrats.
Does she need to do it?
Well, I think she should. I mean,
all these investigations by all these different committee chairs have been going on for months now.
Well, yeah, I want to take that back. I don't think they should, in the sense that there's any there, but when they say, when she gets up there and says, we are launching an impeachment inquiry, before she, sees any of the documents, she's kind of trying to have her cake and eat it too. She's trying to say to the left, look, we're starting the impeachment inquiry. And then she's saying to her freshmen who are vulnerable, well, we're not going to take a vote on it. So, but the political problem is that once she's held this press conference and said, we're launching an impeachment inquiry, she can't then not follow through and vote on impeachment. It does not matter what they find. If there is shining evidence that President Trump didn't try and produce or obtain quid pro quo, and which I think there actually is a lot of evidence. For instance, the Ukrainians didn't know until several weeks after the call that the U.S. was withholding aid. It doesn't matter. Politically, she has to impeach, because if she doesn't, that's basically Democrats saying, well, actually, President Trump is a great guy. You know, we couldn't find anything impeachable after we said, here's something to impeach.
Well, and now this morning, Mitch McConnell is saying that if the House votes out an articles of impeachment, that the Senate is duty-bound to have a trial, that it's not optional. It's not a matter of, Mitch McConnell can just stick the articles of impeachment in a drawer and say, we'll get to it later. You have to have the trial, right?
Yeah, I think there is some wiggle room about, whether or not you have to have the trial. I mean, the Senate majority leader controls the Senate, right? I mean, he's got a lot of sway there. I think politically, you have to do it. I mean, if the president is impeached, and then it just looks bad, right, to say, well, we're not even going to have a trial because, well, what are you worried about or what are you afraid of? And so I think, his thinking is, look, they impeach, especially because it looks bogus now. We're going to go forward. We're going to present the evidence, let people vote, and move on.
So explain what would happen if indeed they get to the end of this Ukraine investigation, this whistleblower investigation, and whether there is, impeachable offenses or not. If they decide that they're going to go forward, how do they go forward?
Well, they eventually they're going to end up taking a vote. Basically, they're going to draft articles of impeachment, basically, laying out, here's the reason or the reasons that we think the president should be impeached. And then they're going to take a vote and they're going to, see if they can get a majority to impeach the president.
Okay, getting back to Mark Amadei, are you satisfied with his explanation of what that 40-minute presser contained and what it was he was advocating for and not advocating for?
Yeah. I think what he was trying to say is, look, let's find out the information and then we can make a judgment call. And this was, I think, one of the great frustrations with the Russia investigation is, we had 2 years of Democrats saying, he's guilty, the president, he's guilty, he's Putin's puppet. And we said, okay, at least I said, well, I don't see any evidence of that. If you would like to present evidence of that, I'm happy to listen. And I think that's what Amadei, basically was saying is, let's get all the evidence on the table and make a judgment. And I think that's the right position. But the problem is that Democrats have basically locked themselves into, it doesn't matter what evidence comes out, they have to vote to impeach.
Here is what Mark Amadei actually said. Using government agencies to, if it's proven, to put your finger on the scale of an election, I don't think that's right. If it turns out that it's something along those lines, then there is a problem. He is not advocating for impeachment, but he is saying that if there is, and this is my words, not his, some sort of quid pro quo, which there doesn't appear to be right now, then maybe there is, as he said, then there is a problem. And as Chuck Muth wrote so artfully, the operative word here is, quote, if. But there's nothing here. The only problem I see is that it seems to give Nancy Pelosi, it's one step closer to Nancy Pelosi being able to say, hey, we got Mitt Romney, we got Mark Amadei. This is a bipartisan effort.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the political problem, right, is that Democrats are desperate for any sort of, bipartisan support for their, conclusion that they've already reached, that they're going to glom onto this. And so Republicans do have to be careful. But I think it was the right approach with Russia. Ben Sasse, when he read the whistleblower complaint, he had a quote basically saying, I think it's serious and I think everyone should slow down, whether you're defending or accusing. And, to me, that seems to be the right attitude is, look, the president has been incredibly forthcoming. The whistleblower is basically his or her big complaint was, oh, my word, they moved this call to some secret server. Well, the president's released the call, right? Like, this is the world's worst cover-up. I mean, they're trying to hide this transcript, and now, 3 billion people in the world have read it. I mean, congratulations, guys. So, look, I'm happy to look at evidence. Just all the evidence that has come out so far. I mean, certainly the phone call is not flattering to the president. I don't think it's good in terms of, like, you know, Obama talking to Russia and saying, hey, give me a little flexibility until after the election. I don't think that's good. Or a space until after the election when I'll have more flexibility. I don't think that's good, but I don't think that was impeachable.
That is Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We've been talking about Mark Amadei and some comments he made late last week, a 40-minute news conference, and a lot of people got their nose bent out of joint on it. I'm not as concerned because all he's saying is he wants to get the facts out, which is great. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. That's Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, as we continue this Monday edition of Live and Local Now. For years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of Real Water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Real Water has upped its game again with Real Water Concentrate. Just a few squirts of the Real Water Concentrate, and you can transform any good purified water into Real Water. To learn more, just go to my website, kevinwallradio.com. That's kevinwallradio.com, and click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Now, you can get Real Water anytime, anyplace, on the go.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Congressman Horsford has us headed in the wrong direction, where criminal illegal immigrants get to stay and our borders remain unsecure. I am Sam Peters, the only Republican candidate who can defeat Horsford. I proudly served in the military for 20 years and earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan. I'm devoted to family and am a small business owner. I'm the only candidate who supports building the wall, opposes sanctuary cities, and supports a balanced budget amendment. Please join me in this important campaign by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by committee to elect Sam Peters.
It's amazing how time flies. Hey, Kevin Wall here, your host on Live and Local Now and the owner of Battle Born Radio Corp. It was just over 3 years ago that I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I knew my small business would have to move warp speed into this new digital era. That's when I called Sofa King Creative Group. Locally owned and operated, Sofa King Creative Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of clients. Their marketing team provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design project, an engaging mobile-friendly website. What I like best about Sofa King Creative Group, they showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. Let the pros at Sofa King Creative Group help you and your small business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Or check them out at SofaKingCreativeGroup.com. That's SofaKingCreativeGroup.com.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, Communications Director with Laborers Union Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, Union proud.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's Live and Local Now. This hour brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out, 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. Victor Jakes joining us, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Your column over the weekend, dealing with Bernie Sanders and his so-called wealth tax. First of all, explain what the wealth tax would do and why you kind of railed rhetorically against it.
Well, what he would do is he would say that anyone whose net worth is more than $16 million a year, 32 for a couple, that they would be assessed a 1% tax on their wealth. So not on income, not on investment earnings, on basically just whatever wealth they have. And then that would go up to 8% for some billionaires. And basically, you know, his pitch is exactly, you know, is perfectly designed to appeal to everyone's inner toddler. You know, it's they have it, you want it, vote for me, and I will take it from them and give it to you. And you know, it's just the politics of selfishness. And it's really unfortunate. I think it's you know, it flies in the face of property rights. You know, everyone is fine saying, look, property rights are great. Like, yes, the police should protect my phone and my car and my house. And then people, you know, those same people will say, but look, he's got three houses or four houses. Therefore, I want one of his houses. And it's like, well, if you believe in the principle of property rights, it has to apply to everyone. You don't lose your property rights as you acquire more property. But that's what Bernie Sanders seems to think.
Well, and guys like Tom Steyer, billionaire, Bill Gates, billionaire. They all are participating, or say they are participating, in some program where they're going to give away the bulk of their wealth to others, to charity. How is this different? When an individual does it, it's philanthropy. When the government does it, it's highway robbery, and it's taxing and all of that. How are the two different?
Well, that's exactly it, right? Is that if someone has control over their money and they say, I want to give it away, that's great. Good for you. It's your money. You can do with it what you want. If they say, you know, look, I want to build a basement and make it a Scrooge McDuck money pit, it's your money. Like, that's the brilliance of property rights, right? Is that it's your money. You can do with it what you want. And I think what's kind of underpinning Sanders' socialism and basically underpinning of communism is this idea that wealth is limited, that if the rich people have something, that means they've taken it away from the working class. And that's just not how economics works. If you go to McDonald's and you buy a McDouble for $1.50 and you give them $1.50 and they give you a hamburger, who lost, right? No one. You both won because it's a free transaction. And so what you see in a free market economy is that these mutually beneficial exchanges actually produce more wealth. So it's not that there's a fixed amount of wealth and because Bill Gates is wealthy, everyone else is poorer. No, Bill Gates made a product. He made Windows, which made computers accessible to everyone, that improved my life. It allows me to do my job, make more money, allows you to do your job, produce this radio show, make more money. He created wealth, and so he's rewarded financially for creating wealth, not just because he figured out a great way to take money from people.
What this election is going to hinge on, in my view, is where is America? You see millennials, 65% of millennials believe they'd rather live in a socialist country than a capitalist country. Where is America? Do you get a sense? I mean, you talk to people every day out on the street. Are people into the? I mean, there it may be that people will applaud this wealth tax thing with Bernie Sanders.
Oh, some people certainly do. I mean, he's got a, you know, a contingent of supporters, and
it levels the playing field.
They're very excited because the reason is they view this, you know, they view wealth as kind of a fixed thing. And so if they say, look, if someone's got something, that means I don't have it. And they don't see how the economy grows. And I think the problem with viewing the election as a referendum, I think, you know, America is divided between these two ideas of, you know, do we go for freedom or do we go for more government control over things like healthcare? The complicating factor is that, you know, Trump is not a popular spokesperson across the board. Very popular with Republicans, obviously. But Republicans are, you know, 35%-ish of the country, 40%-ish of the country. And then you've got, you know, Democrats about the same. And then you've got this big group of independents. And you know, look, I think Trump's done a lot of good policy things. But if you're going into an election as the person to best represent your ideas, it's not Trump.
Let me just ask you, Bernie Sanders is in a race with 17, 20, 22, whatever it is, the number on a given day, Democrats. The question is he further to the left than most of these other Democrat candidates?
Oh, yeah, that's his whole appeal, is that he is the...
Is he to the far, far left then?
The far, far left. I mean, and his appeal is, look, I'm not only to the left, right? Now, he not only has the most extreme wealth tax, but he's the true believer who will actually do it. His critique of Elizabeth Warren, who's produced similar proposals in terms of wealth tax and debt forgiveness, is basically, you know, she's not the believer. She's just saying this to win the primary, and then once the general comes, she will tack right back to the center, which is actually, I think, true. I think that's a fair analysis. And so Bernie's pitch is, you know, not only are my ideas the ideas driving the debate, which he's been very successful at, but, you know, I'm the true believer who will actually work to implement these ideas.
Well, and don't forget, there are others who now follow Bernie, but they weren't there. Bernie was the original. Bernie was the one that brought this to the forefront, the Medicare for All thing. This was, you know, out there last year or in 2016, and he got screwed out of the nomination.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly the ideological leader of the Democrat Party, you know, and he's the guy who vacationed in the Soviet or honeymooned in the Soviet Union, right? I mean, he is the true believer. He embraces the socialist label. And, you know, if you want someone most committed to socialism, it's Bernie Sanders.
Can you stick around?
Absolutely.
More coming up with Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He covers a lot about education. He covers a lot when it comes to government and good government. We will have more with him coming up in just a couple minutes. Also, don't forget, top of the next hour, we'll be joined by Jared Fisher, former candidate for governor. Yeah. Might he be thinking about another run? I'll ask him. I will. Jared Fisher will join us coming up top of the hour as we continue. It is live and local now.
Regan, and this is the Fox Business Report.
On the last trading day of the month, stocks are in the green as investors keep an eye on the latest trade developments between the U.S. and China. And on this final day of the third quarter, it marks the best three quarters percentage-wise for the S&P 500 in 7 years with a gain of 18%. And WeWork is shelving its plans to go public for now. The office-sharing company said it's making the move to focus on its core business and that it has every intention to operate WeWork as a public company but did not provide a time fray. Last week, its co-founder and CEO, Adam Neumann, stepped down. And discount fashion chain Forever 21 will be closing up to 178 stores in the U.S. as part of a bankruptcy filing. The retailer said with its bankruptcy protection, it will focus on maximizing the value of its remaining U.S. stores and close certain international locations. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump on Twitter asks whether California Democrat Adam Schiff should be arrested for treason for narrating an exaggerated version of the president's phone call with Ukraine's president during a House hearing last week. Congressman Schiff says, meantime, they're working out logistics of having the Ukraine whistleblower testify.
Come in without a minder from the Justice Department or from the White House to tell the whistleblower what they can and cannot say.
Congressman Schiff on ABC's This Week. Bernie Sanders in New Hampshire today announced a plan to fight income inequality.
Sanders wants to raise taxes on corporations that pay their CEOs 50 times more than their average worker.
You have three people who own more wealth than the bottom half of American society. Got that?
The Sanders campaign says the income inequality tax plan would raise $150 billion over the next 10 years. The money would be used to pay for his proposal to get rid of medical debt.
That's Rachel Sutherland, America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Maria Bartiromo from Fox Business. My parents lived the American dream. My father cooked in his restaurant. I was the coat check girl. Today, I'm still working the hardest I've ever worked, giving my viewers every tool I can to help them succeed.
I'm Stuart Varney from Fox Business. My first investment, traveling the world for about 5 years and ending up right here in America. Damn good investment, actually. Fox Business.
Invested in you.
Attention, Dish customers. Football season is here, but you could miss it. Dish dropped FS1 and BTN. Dish customers will miss college football on FS1 and BTN, MLB playoffs on FS1, and more. Dish dropped your favorite Fox sports and shows, so drop Dish. Dish customers, switch to another TV provider that carries your Fox sports and shows. Call 1-800-KEEP-FOX or visit keepfox.com.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
You just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Good to have you with us. Victor, Jake staying over an extra segment. Yeah, we've been talking about some of the races. Interesting race, crowded race going on in CD4, which is that big, lengthy, narrow district that goes from North Las Vegas up to just outside of, up to northern Nevada. And a crowded field, Jim Marchant, Sam Peters, Charles Navarro, and others are in this race. How do you size that one up? I mean, that's obviously they're trying to unseat Stephen Horsford. Who do you like in that one?
I think Marchant's got to be considered the leader going forward. I mean, I think he's going to end up raising the most money. He's ran in the district before when he ran for the assembly, and so I think he's the most known quantity. I just think it's really interesting because you've got some really interesting candidates. I mean, Peters is an Air Force veteran. Navarro worked for former Congressman Hardy, Hispanic. I mean, Lisa Long Sutton is an Asian businesswoman. There's a businesswoman up from Reno who's randomly running for the seat and who seems like she would be a good candidate. And so I just think it's too bad that basically you've got kind of five quality Republican candidates, four of them who haven't run before, and they're all running for the same seat. And I just think their chances in general for whoever makes it out aren't that great, even if Horsford is
why,
not a great candidate.
Why do you say that?
Well, just the district. I mean, I think it's upside down seven to 9 points, and that's tough. I mean, it's just tough. I mean, the rural Nevada obviously will vote Republican, but there's a lot of North Las Vegas in there, heavily Democrat part of the district, and so I'm not optimistic about Republican chances there, even if Horsford is a flawed candidate.
Because when you look at the in fact, everybody points to 2018. When Democrats won everything back that they had lost, and I guess my question is, will there not be Trump coattails in our state?
Well, I mean, I certainly think there will be, but the flip side of that is there will be anti-Trump coattails in our state as well. And if you look at the 2018 election, I think that's exactly what you saw. Republican turnout did very good; was very robust. It's just that Democrats were really motivated to vote against Trump, and there are more Democrats in the state than Republicans, and that just becomes a math problem. And I don't think you can solve that just with, you know, Trump firing up the base. I mean, it is a, you know, Nevada is rapidly slipping from a purple to a blue state, and I think that's too bad. But I don't think Trump's the best person to fix that.
What about the argument though that keeps getting made by Republicans more than anybody? That there is this group of libertarians and unaffiliated voters that if you win them, you probably win the state. They're going to be the linchpin to whoever wins. Do you buy that? Do you think there are enough unaffiliated voters to get Republicans over the top?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, certainly if you do well with independents, you know, if you can get those libertarians, those independent Americans to vote Republican, that certainly helps. I've been an advocate of the Republican Party or Republican donors sponsoring a Green Party in the state. I mean, if you could, you know, start shaving off 1 or 2% of some of these races, that would be very helpful because that's what the libertarians do. I mean, I love the libertarians, but just their political strategy has, you know, decades-long record of failure. It's time to reevaluate and say, look, if I want to advance these ideas, I better go to one of the major parties because it's not working. I think it's good. The more libertarians vote Republican, the better for Republicans. But I don't think it's the panacea.
I always have fun with my friends who are Republicans, and because they honestly believe they're Republicans, and then you ask them about two or three questions: taxation, God, guns, country, whatever. All of a sudden, you find out these people are libertarians. They're not Republicans. How would you define a libertarian in our state?
Well, it's an interesting mix. I mean, the classic definition is basically fiscally conservative and socially liberal, where, you know, the just leave me alone, and so leave me alone with the government when it comes to taxes and regulation, but then also leave me alone when it comes to drug use or prostitution or, you know, gay marriage. And then kind of the dividing line is abortion. You know, some libertarians will say, look, I mean, that's a life, and the government does exist to protect life. Other libertarians will take the, oh, it's a woman's choice side. So there is some division there. I mean, Ron Paul, the most famous libertarian in the country, was pro-life. And then, you know, on a national foreign policy level, they're you know, more isolationist than
bring all the troops home.
Right, just come home. We'll worry about us. And basically, if we just trade with people, they'll be free. And you know, I wish the world worked that way. But I just think what's unfortunate is, you know, I agree with a lot of those ideas, not all of them, but a lot of them. And I just think they get lost when you are a minor party and getting 1-2% of the vote, and you know, when you get 5% in one random assembly race and that keeps you on the ballot, like, that's a great victory. Like, that's not a winning political strategy, right? Like, do what Bernie Sanders did, where he took his ideas in the Democrat Party and now all the leading Democrats are embracing his ideas. Come to the Republican Party or go to the Democrat Party. I mean, it's just not a fruitful strategy. And if they looked and saw how their party has done, you know, and look in the 2016 election, when they should have had an opportunity to really pull some votes, because there were a lot of people dissatisfied with Trump and Clinton, and they couldn't pull it off. And I think it's too bad.
And I'm trying to think who'd they run.
Gary Johnson
and Weld.
Well, and you know, it should have been a good ticket, right? I mean, two former governors, and Gary Johnson basically ended up kind of going crazy. And, you know, their convention, they had this, like, almost naked guy come out and give this speech. And it's just like, what are you guys doing? Like, this isn't a political movement. This is like just an assembly of people who, I don't know.
It's why we always refer to them as those crazy libertarians.
Those crazy libertarians. I mean, they've certainly earned the reputation.
Can the Libertarian Party or a third party, another third party, can they ever exist, or is the deck stacked against them in America? We are a two-party country, and we, you know, I mean, I keep hearing people tell me we're always going to be.
Third parties need not
apply. They can be spoilers. Yeah. Green Party.
The system just is not set up for third parties. I mean, if you are in a parliamentary system, and where if you get 5% of the vote, you get 5% of the seats, right? Like, then it makes sense to have a third party. But basically, the two major parties are kind of shifting coalitions of third parties, where, you know, some people it's the life issue, some people it's an immigration issue, some people it's the, you know, the affirmative action issue, or, you know, the gender identity issue, and so basically the parties kind of become the coalitions. And I think, you know, that's what the third parties don't get, is the parties are the coalitions, and the coalitions are sometimes changing in small ways, sometimes dramatic ways. But if you want to be part of the process, you got to go to one of the major parties, even if you disagree with them on some issues.
I want to bring you full circle back to the what everybody talked about yesterday on the Sunday shows, and that's the whistleblower. We hear from Adam Schiff that we will hear from the whistleblowers sooner rather than later. What do you think we will find from the whistleblower? I mean, we've seen the letter of complaint. We have seen the actual complaint itself, not just the letter, but the actual complaint. What do you think we'll find? And will this be another dry hole to borrow a?
Yeah, I really do think so. I mean, the whistleblower in the complaint basically said, I have only secondhand information, and here's all the bad stuff I've been hearing. Well, we know some of the information was wrong, you know, people who were on the call. And we know that the big, you know, bombshell, oh, that Trump was hiding these call transcripts. Well, he's been doing that for 2 years. And the reason is because he's worried about everything leaking, which, you know, obviously the whistleblower used a little bit more formal of a process than leaking straight to the press. But, you know, the president was right to be worried about leaks because his administration leaks a lot. That's not evidence of a crime. I mean, that's actually good management. And so I don't know what the upside is for Democrats with the whistleblower testifying. They don't know anything firsthand. The complaint was made public. The complaint was sent to Congress. I don't know what they're going to add to the conversation. I think the only thing that can happen really is we find out the whistleblower talked to Schiff beforehand or during the process, and then it starts looking much more political. And I think that's going to damage Democrats' case if that happens. So I'm happy to hear from the whistleblower. I just don't think it's going to help Democrats in the way they think it's going to.
Are you like Lindsey Graham, who says, I don't want to just hear from the whistleblower. I want to find out who it is that gave the whistleblower, he or she, information. I want to find out who they talked to, what are their sources. People, a part of the deal is they say, well, people in the White House told me. Well, let's find out who those people in the White House are. Do you think we'll ever get firsthand information?
Well, I don't really think we need firsthand. We have the firsthand information, right? We have the transcript of the call. And so I think, you know, I don't necessarily think it's the best look for politically to say, well, we've got to find out who the, you know, we got to find out who told the whistleblower. Because the point of the whistleblower is supposed to be able to, you know, blow the whistle and be protected. I mean, should the Trump administration be concerned that, you know, they've got loose lips and loose lips sink ships? Yeah, absolutely they should be concerned. But I don't, you know, so I don't think that's the best issue to focus on politically. I mean, I think the Trump administration is concerned about leaks. And another thing with the whistleblower is there's been some reporting that they changed the whistleblower complaint form where it used to be only firsthand information. That you could only report firsthand information. And then, you know, within the last couple of months, right before the whistleblower filed his secondhand complaint, they changed the standards and said you could have secondhand information. I'm very interested in that. I think that's a question that needs to be asked. You know, was there some sort of coordination here where people in the intelligence community who didn't like Trump are coordinating to do things that make him look bad? Again, I think just like we talked about earlier with Amadei, let's see where the evidence leads. Let's find out all the evidence, but let's not just ask the questions that, you know, oh, did Trump do the quid pro quo? Let's do the questions of, well, did they change the whistleblower standards? Because that would be a big scandal if so.
Victor, it's going to be fun seeing how this thing all plays out. I suspect it may be another dry hole, to borrow a term from the oil industry, oil and gas industry. We'll find out. Always good, man. Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for staying over.
That was great. Thank you.
Victor Jakes, 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. What happened on the Sunday shows yesterday? You're not going to believe this. Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro drops another 2 F-bombs. We're not going to bring you that, but we'll bring you some of the other stuff he said. That's all next. Live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
At its heart, free markets are about opportunity. I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. Advancing freedom, empowering individuals with opportunity, well, that's at the core of Nevada Policy's mission. It's the reason our organization exists. We believe individuals who work hard, take risks, and are dedicated to building a future for their family, they deserve the opportunity to pursue their dreams without politicians and government getting in the way. And you know what? We're not alone. Nevadans from all walks of life partner with us to promote the kind of free market solutions that maximize opportunities for individuals. Together, we work to preserve and expand the kind of freedom that has made Nevada such an amazing place to live. Now, more than ever, we're taking this message to a more diverse audience, letting more Nevadans than ever before know exactly how we're working to keep this state free and prosperous for them. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to learn more and to support our important work today. That's NevadaPolicy.org. This Nevada Policy Update is brought to you by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
There comes a time when you have to decide, how am I going to vote? Well, here's an easy way to get things started. ClarkCountyRepublicans.org. No matter what your party affiliation, take a look at the Clark County Republicans. Easy to do, too. Just go to ClarkCountyRepublicans.org to see what they're up to of late and find out how easy it is to register for local, state, and federal elections at ClarkCountyRepublicans.org.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. EscapeAdventures.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
You know, for years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of real water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Well, real water is up to its game again, this time with real water concentrate. Just a few squirts of the real water concentrate and you can transform any good purified water into real water. Try it with your coffee, your tea, or your juice. I love it with my OJ in the morning. Now, to learn more, just go to KevinWallRadio.com. That's KevinWallRadio.com. Click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Again, that's KevinWallRadio.com. This just in, USA Today reporting that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said today the Senate would have, quote, no choice, unquote, but to hold a trial on whether to remove President Donald Trump from office if the House votes to put forward articles of impeachment. He told CNBC that the obligation to hold a trial is part of Senate rules, and it would take a two-thirds vote of the chamber to change that. He says, quote, I would have no choice but to take it up based on a Senate rule on impeachment. So it's not optional. It's not he can sit on it. It's not, well, the majority leader in the Senate controls what he brings to the floor. He would be forced to do so. Forced to do so. I want to go to cut two. Because this is Rudy Giuliani. He was on with, where was this? Maria Bartiromo, Sunday Morning Futures, and justifies his involvement in the Biden investigation in Ukraine. Here it is.
It was in bad form for the president to ask another leader of a country.
It was in bad form to ask the leader of another country to investigate a vice president of the United States.
Who is his opponent politically?
Okay. That you say that. He's also someone who looks like he may have sold his office in the Ukraine, disgraced the United States, made it impossible for us to combat corruption in the United States. How could Obama have ever sent Biden there to say he's going to take on corruption in Ukraine when his son is working for one of the most crooked oligarchs in Ukraine? And doesn't that hurt the relations between the United States and Ukraine? I can't help it if Biden will be a candidate for president someday. That doesn't give him immunity for being investigated.
There are people on the Republican side as well who are saying, you know what? Here is one right here. When you've got Senator John Kennedy, I wish he would shut the heck up. There are people even on the Republican side who are saying Rudy is coming out and putting all of this information out there and rambling interviews and making the president, putting him in a bad spot. Pompeo is upset with you, apparently. A.G. Barr said, I should not be lumped into the same situation as the president's personal lawyer. I am the attorney general. Is that what's happening? Is there a blurring of lines here?
No, there isn't a blurring of lines here. I'm representing the president, and I am bringing out facts that the swamp wants to cover up. I knew the moment Biden was mentioned that it would be more difficult to do this because he'd all circle the wagons and try to protect him. The reality is, if the president of the United States hadn't asked for an investigation of this, he would not be doing his job under Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution. Just because Joe Biden is a protected Washington creature does not mean that these serious allegations of a pay-for-play pattern, $8 million to his son from Ukraine, when he's supposed to be straightening out corruption in Ukraine, $1.5 billion from China, when he's supposed to be dealing with the Sakhalin Islands and tariffs. These are things that relate to the foreign policy of the United States. They relate to the credibility of the United States. And you don't get away with doing this just because you're a candidate for president.
I got to tell you, I think Rudy makes sense. This whole notion that because you're Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, Creepy Joe, whatever you want to call him, the fact is that this guy was essentially selling influence. Is there anybody that doubts this? And again, if you tell me, well, you know, the Ukrainian media covered this and they investigated, that's a bunch of hooey. I mean, the media in Ukraine is as corrupt, maybe more, than the media here in the U.S. Now, you tell me, is Joe Biden dirty? Now, he's got the nice grin, and he's the kid from Scranton. But is it possible that his family was selling out America? Is it possible that his son, I mean, $50,000 a month. $50,000 per month. That's incredible. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's scary. I mean, I'm thinking of my friends that make $50,000 a year. And yet, Joe Biden's son was bringing in $50,000 a month. Is there something that's not right here? And while everybody is attacking, at least everybody on the left, is attacking the president for this whistleblower. And by the way, I'm glad that the president said, I'd like to meet this whistleblower. I think that's great. You know, if Obama could end up having beer summits in the backyard of the White House, then why can't the president have it with a whistleblower? Under the guise of, oh, we are so proud of this whistleblower. Adam Schiff said this guy or gal was courageous for coming out like this. We'll see what you think. In fact, I'll even ask Jared Fisher. From Escape Adventures and Las Vegas Cyclery, a former candidate for governor. What is his latest outdoor adventure? Every week, or every couple of weeks, there's something new and different that he's up to. And it usually looks really dangerous and really hard to do physically. We'll see what Jared Fisher is up to. That's all next. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Monday. It is live and local. Now.
For I'm not playing, I play this game, and I won't stop until I'm done. Congressman Horsford has us headed in the wrong direction, where criminal illegal immigrants get to stay and our borders remain unsecure. I am Sam Peters, the only Republican candidate who can defeat Horsford. I proudly served in the military for 20 years and earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan. I'm devoted to family and am a small business owner. I'm the only candidate who supports building the wall, opposes sanctuary cities, and supports a balanced budget amendment. Please join me in this important campaign by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by committee to elect Sam Peters.
There comes a time when you have to decide, how am I going to vote? Well, here's an easy way to get things started. ClarkCountyRepublicans.org. No matter what your party affiliation, take a look at the Clark County Republicans. It's easy to do. Just go to ClarkCountyRepublicans.org to see what they're up to of late and find out how easy it is to register for local, state, and federal elections at ClarkCountyRepublicans.org.
ABET, Winchester, Las Vegas, 790. Talk now. Talk that rocks.